cliffcentral.com.
Just high, my nigga. I had a motherfucking wet dream. I had Riri at the crib. You're now fucking with the best team.
Yo, what's happening? Today is Friday. It's 9 o'clock, and you know what that means. It is time for the Gas Comedy Podcast. Oh, and we have a guest today. He goes by the name of Prince, but before I introduce him, as you can hear, today is very quiet in the studio because Dave Levinson is not here. He's out in... We've got a horn guy, man. He's out in the Seychelles doing Seychellish things. And his neighbor is also not here with us today, Brandon Mackay. But he did WhatsApp us already, which is amazing, saying, Palesa, I miss you. My weekend is not complete without you. We see you, Brandon. We see you. So, yeah, they're not here today. But we're still going to have an amazing show. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. And, yeah, WhatsApp us. Speak to us. Let's hear what you have to say. Because today, what we are talking about is what has happened last night. On a point of order.
On a point of order, comrade.
They were caught in a...
Caught in a quagmire, actually.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining me today in the studio is the one and only Mr. Prince. Yay. Prince, how are you this morning?
I'm cool, man. Thanks for having me. So much to talk about.
Yeah, man.
This is one of those things where you kind of have to talk about it.
You have to. You can't avoid.
Now, imagine we got you and I'm like, yo, man, what do you think about the price of Evos? Not today.
That's not current affairs,
not
man.
Not today.
Evos have been around. Yeah? But did you see the
state of the nation? That's too current. it's an affair.
Yo, did you do any catching up on it? Did you watch the highlights? This is a weird question. Did you watch the highlights?
There's definitely highlights. In fact, you must just watch the whole episode.
It's
a dope episode. It's one of those episodes where you're like, yo, season 2 is going to be fire.
Yeah, my man, this is like season 9 already.
Dog,
it's already on that level
blazing.
Of fire.
Still yo. Blazing.
We've got another guest.
Killy Apto.
She has arrived. Her name is Killy Apto. You'll hear from her in a second. But what I want to say is, I was sitting and I was watching this thing on the YouTubes last night, right? So I'm watching the thing live, and you know it's a live thing. So I'm sitting and I'm watching, and Suma's doing the speech, and I'm just like, I'm going to try and fast forward. So that was my genius moment of last night, trying to fast forward a live feed on YouTube. I felt stupid. But then I went back, because I was sitting and watching the thing. I was sitting and I was doing tickets at the Goliath Comedy Club. Come through, check it out. And I'm sitting and doing the thing. And I'm like, no, wait, let me just watch a few minutes. Let me catch snippets. So I'm watching and I'm like, nah, this is boring. Nothing's happening. Yeah, this is boring. Nothing's happening. Then I switch my phone off. As I switch my phone off, someone walks in and they're like, yo, did you see how they were fighting?
Bruh.
I'm like, I missed it.
We were on our way to the club. It was me, Kevin, Kelly driving in the car. We put the radio on. Now we're listening to the radio. You know when you know something's going to pop off.
Yeah.
Like, something's gonna pop off.
It's boiling.
At some point, Zuma started doing his speech. He started talking, and someone just point of ordered him immediately. It was like, we are all gathered here. Point of order! We are all gathered. Point of order! You are not recognized. Now someone say you're not recognized. Someone saying point of order. Zuma's doing the speech, right? He's on line 5.
Yeah, no.
Point of... That's how it sounds like.
Honorable
really.
President, sounds can like you this. Please take your seat?
Point of order! That's how it sounds like.
I made a conscious decision.
Not to watch
that thing.
Damn. You should have, though.
Because it just... causes me societal depression.
Yeah.
The thing is,
it's possible.
What I feel is that the way they went about it in Parliament, look, these are grown-ups.
Grown-ups.
All of them are grown-ups. And to interrupt each other and speak over each other like that,
Dog.
And not just that, they're the reflection of our country.
Dog.
They should at least have the decency to go, look here, hello. Don't start this now. This is not your segment. You are doing this thing incorrectly. Point of order, kid.
Point of order!
Have you ever watched British Parliament?
No.
That's very amusing. You should try watch that.
I've seen Chinese Parliament.
But they fight everywhere.
It's pretty
everywhere.
Much the same
they
as
fight.
Ours.
They fight everywhere.
They're passionate about
But there's something romantic about
us,
the way they fight. You know, it sounds like...
Oi.
You must watch it.
It's nice, eh?
Come on,
it's
love.
Nice.
What are you doing?
Oh,
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Calm down now. Thank you very much, Palesa. No, but like, that's the thing.
Well, the right honorable gentleman.
You know?
He's restrain himself.
Like, it sounds so nice in an
and
English
then
I was
like,
accent.
Restrained. Just sit down. That's fine.
So I was sitting and I was watching a couple of the clips last night. And things were said, man. Things were said.
Yeah.
Fists were thrown.
Dude.
People are being told to leave.
Dude. Like,
The one guy was like, I don't know who these two guys are. Please, tell them to go. We have a criminal here and two police officers. Tell them to leave and tell Jacob Zuma must buy as well.
At one point, the madam speaker was there. Then another lady jumped up and she was like, point of order. And she's like, I don't recognize you. You sit yourself down. You sit your point of. You sit your... Now I'm in the car and I'm listening to this and I'm thinking to myself, something's going to happen here.
No,
something
really.
Has to happen. Because Zuma came with his own 400 and something Spartans to protect him. Call it intuition if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, it's called intuition. When you rock up in a place like, yo, my gang, I think we're going to get jumped
today
here today.
We need to be on our toes.
We're going
to
get jumped here
watch.
Today.
Just watch.
If
please.
You don't jump, you're going to get jumped.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's the rule.
I was ready.
For sure.
He was ready.
But that's what I'm saying. The thing is, it was almost a repeat of last year. Do you remember the guy last year?
That said,
honorable speaker, 37 times before they stopped Jacob Zuma because he started laughing.
Damn.
Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
Honorable
but he was by himself.
But that footage from, I saw this morning, I just saw footage of like honorable a mob speaker. And it just looked exactly like last year.
Yeah. It did.
Like, step, do something new. Like, I would like them to just scale it up a bit, you know?
And I feel like they left in the same.
Add something something new.
They
so
left in
it looks the same. Like, yeah, what are you know? Yeah, no, like, I don't want to look at the same thing.
This is a
like,
repeat.
Yeah. The guys in the white shirts tearing out the guys in the red shirts. Like, let's throw in,
some
I don't know.
Some blue shirts.
Yeah, some color.
Some paintball guns. Make this interesting for everyone.
Yeah. Introduce weaponry. Something that says, you know, we've progressed this operation.
Yeah. The real paintball is nice. The EFF only have red bullets.
Yeah. Brilliant.
The DA has blue. So you know who shot you.
Yeah, you know.
Who shot me? Like, hey, that's an INC.
They need a director. They need a director.
Nah.
A
put
musical
the production
director.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
Imagine, we should do that. We should do a musical based on South African Parliament. That would be amazing.
That
would
be fun.
A satirical musical based on South African Parliament.
And the theme song from Tsotsi like, Dan, 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 Dan. As my lemma walks in, Dan, Dan, Dan.
I've just made you musical director. Well done.
WrestleMania.
But one thing I'll say for sure. Last night was a State of the Nation address, right? And they say actions speak louder than words. I think last night's action showed us the state of the nation without the address.
And they were saying, like
we got to the point straight.
The
actions.
Son?
Yeah, it was just son. And someone probably said that while throwing a bottle. What are you talking about, son?
Like, no. The thing is, then this morning on radio, you know, obviously, there's going to be reports and what the president said, what they said. So I'm listening to 5FM, and the reporter says, I think it was Carmen Naidu. Carmen Naidu says, Jacob Zuma said, the actions and what went down in the house last night is not a reflection of
I heard that now
South Africa.
Yeah.
Of South Africa.
Like, he's like, it's just a reflection of like maybe 6%. I'm like, how did he arrive at that number?
We know
he's not arriving at any numbers. Never mind that 6%.
And don't add a percent.
Yeah.
If you don't know your numbers, don't add percent.
No, don't get fancy.
Yeah.
6.1%.
I know I'm not good at math, so I don't do numbers. You know, I don't do the bill when it comes. I let somebody else.
You're not doing square roots.
No. Just be yourself.
So that's the thing. But he might be right. Because I looked at the state of South Africans on the street today.
Did
while
you feel
while
like
they were
it was
walking.
6%
But we seem more controlled than them. Like,
absolutely.
We seem composed.
I feel like it gives us a sense of superiority, actually.
A little bit.
You know?
I'm like, well, we didn't throw each other with banana peels and stuff.
Very relaxed.
Like, for sure.
We are cool. Then I'm like, maybe he's got a point. Maybe we are cool.
We are, definitely.
Okay, cool. So for those of you out there that are listening to us and not sure how to contact us, the WhatsApp line is 079-748-2090. We've got a couple of WhatsApps coming in here.
Oh, yeah.
Morning, Eric. Morning, Prince. This is your number one fan. Can I be a side commentator from the WhatsApp line? From? Mr. Who's that? That name, yeah. Mr. Mr. Pacquiao. Oh, Mr. This guy is Mr. Fuck You. Okay, cool, fresh. You can be the side commentator.
Is with a PH.
No, the F. F-A-C-I-C-I-O. Like, I didn't spell that properly on purpose. There we go. Right,
oh, Fecchio.
Yeah, like, not Fecchio, but like, point of order. Like, things were said last night, guys. Okay, wait. Two more. I'm not going to read that one, Brandon. You are being inappropriate. Aware, guys. I'm supposed to be sleeping now. Yo, can you move the mouse, please?
Damn, this is
I'm supposed
boring.
To be sleeping now, working night right? shift, but had to get up and listen to you guys. Love you all, except the cock blocker. Ah, Woody, the strangest thing happened. Let me just put this in here. On Saturday, I performed at Parker's.
Yeah.
And I walked on stage, and I do the same thing every time I walk on stage at Parker's. I go, I move the microphone, and I just keep quiet for like a good 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Just to get the
and
crowd going. Okay,
way.
Yeah. But as I put the mic down and I just stood there and looked at everybody, one guy from the audience was like, ah, Guest Comedy Podcast guy.
Yeah. Shout
and I think
out.
That was Woody. So Woody, you are an amazing
shout
oh,
out.
In a way. Yeah. Oh,
how did that's, you become that's famous for podcasting?
No, only
and,
Woody.
You know, because it's not a visual medium, Eric.
He probably heard my voice and he's like, ah, it's this guy. And the thing is, they always post like, they've always posted pictures of me on the Twitter thing. So Woody must have seen me there. But yeah, it's weird, man. No, but like back to Sona. Like the things that were said last night were on fire.
Yeah.
You know when somebody calls you a constitutional delinquent?
That's fancy, hey. I heard that today and I was
a
like
constitutional delinquent.
I feel like maybe the drama was worth that phrase. For that phrase to be invented, all of that had to happen, and I feel like it was worth it.
Yeah, someone called the president a scoundrel.
A scoundrel. A constitutional
a
delinquent.
A constitutional scoundrel.
My guy. And the thing is, some people, I feel like some people anticipate the Sona so much because people have come up with a drinking game for the Sona. Look, I don't know the exact thing. I'm going to paraphrase it. But what they do is when it starts, they go, every time the EFF gets up, you take a shot.
Yo.
Every time someone says point of order,
you take a shot.
You take a shot.
Damn. You must gonna be drunk.
Exactly. Every time they say we do not recognize you or anything that has the word recognize, you take a shot.
Yo. That's
during Jacob Zuma's speech, every time he pauses, you take a shot. Every time he clears his throat, you take a shot. Every time he laughs, you take
a shot. Even if you're taking shots of milk.
My guy, you want to be full
your
now.
Lactose intolerance in the morning. You're all over the place. You don't even have lactose intolerance.
You
but
don't,
in the morning,
but tomorrow you will have. You will know.
All those shots of full cream.
And the thing is like, this is something now. This is something.
Do you know what I realized with the comrades? No one knows what a point of order is.
They just bring it up.
No, because someone says point of order, then they're like, okay, you are recognized, do your point of order. Then about so 40 seconds to a minute into
that
the
point
of order.
Of order.
That is not a point of order. Sit down. You sit down. And the guy doesn't stop talking. He talks louder because I'm safe. Hey, honorable. Honorable. Now someone else has a point of order. Point of honorable. I'm trying to say honorable point. Yeah.
That's too much for me. It's too much. It's too much for my personal, like, you know how you have things that freak you out in life? Like, I don't deal well with misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Like I don't deal well in that situation at all. In my core, it's like does something probably because of something that happened in my childhood, who knows.
Yeah.
So I can't even
structure. You like structure?
Yes, I can't. That to watch that actually gives me deep anxiety.
It's chaos.
But it's
gives me genetic anxiety.
Do you know what's
it
chaos?
Goes through my ancestors.
Old comrade stood up. An old comrade stood up. Who's this old comrade like Likota and old.
Oh yeah. He left. He also walked out. He walked out, yeah.
Now here's the thing, Moss. Now the young people are doing this whole point of order, né? So now she keeps saying that is not a point of order. That is now. At some point, my lame was like, yeah, but that other guy stood up and he spoke with no point of order. So you will let me finish. That is not point.
No, it went crazy.
Then the Dakota guy spoke and I was like, oh, finally a senior member. He surely understands.
Then
he
also
said point of order. It's like, honorable,
you
are recognized. I'm like, oh, finally someone's going to make a point of order. He started off so nice. Then all of us, that is not the point of order.
Who decides what is a point of order? You know what I mean?
I feel like it's supposed to be in the law, like of what's happening.
But like imagine how many. Do you think she's reading? She's like, hang on. She's like Googling.
Valid points of order.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to guess. I'm thinking that a point of order is it. So, because we're in Parliament, House of Parliament, people all over the world are listening to what we're saying. So, if someone does happen.
On a side note, shout out to John, waiting all week for this podcast. You are amazing. And Woody's from
from PE. I forgot.
Oh, where, Udi? From where? Champion. There's most. I know places in PE.
Yeah,
oh,
he's from PE. I thought it was him.
Katanga.
Is
he from Katanga?
If you're listening and you were at the thing and you saw me perform on Saturday, just shout, man. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, oh, Udi. Also tell us if you're from Katanga.
Away and give us your commentary on what you thought of this whole thing, man.
Yeah.
On a point of order, fuck you. Is that a point of order? Let me ask you.
So here's my understanding.
Well, let me give you a definition.
Okay,
of
here we go.
Order.
Let's
see. A noun.
Right. Oh, not a verb.
Not a verb.
Phrase. A query in a formal debate or meeting as to whether correct procedure is being followed.
So now what is the correct procedure that they are trying to bring up is my question.
No, so here's my thing. I think someone says something that's unprocedurable or isn't like a proper thing to have said. And then a point of order in my mind is just someone saying, "Yo, honorable thing, Gilly said this. Section something.
That doesn't sound like a point of order.
That is not a point of order, honorable member.
But what these guys do is like a point of order, then like, yeah, just about what Gilly was saying. And the thing is, last week, me and my girlfriend went to the movie. That is not a point of order. We ate popcorn. It's not. And juice. He doesn't stop us. Do you see what I'm saying? So what does that definition tell you, according to your understanding?
Well, it's just, we know what a point of order is. The question is, what do they see as a point of order or not a point of order? Is you telling the president that he's a bitch-ass...
Scoundrel.
Sorry,
the
constitutional delinquent. He's a constitutional delinquent. Is that not a point of order?
It is.
But it was brought up at the wrong time. For the
the thing is,
phrase.
The thing is, what I feel like. Yeah, yeah.
Constitutional delinquent.
The thing is.
A rehabilitated constitutional delinquent. Sorry, continue.
If we were doing this thing at maybe the Supreme Court or something. Because you know there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
Now you're calling him a constitutional delinquent. Like he invited you to his braai. But it was his 40th birthday and he was about to do his speech. Like, thank you guys for coming. And you're like, yeah, but you're getting old and you have gout.
That is not
Yeah, it's not a point of order.
But on the radio this morning, the EFF guy was saying that he's a constitutional delinquent.
Yeah, what's his name? Ndlovu. What's his name?
Fuck, what did he say? He said...
Yeah, Ndlovu, man. Ndlovu. Yeah. Something like that. But
he said,
this is horrible. We don't even know our people, man.
This morning, the EFF,
they were saying something on the radio.
Said
along the lines of constitutional delinquent. I think I was watching that same video. Let me see if I can find it for you quickly. But, yo, like, guys, I went down. At sauna last night, I went down. And then there was pepper spray.
Yeah,
there was other things happening. I was just like, but guys, can we just calm down a smidge? Please. This is too much.
But somehow it has to happen. You know, in South Africa, if we want something to happen, we have to now burn a bus, throw some poo, do a riot. At some point, someone had to get smacked.
We don't know like the statistical results of the poo throwing though, for example.
If
we don't have like there's no like report that's like in the decade from 2000-2010 we found that poo throwing led to a direct correlation between poo throwing
and voters' interest
and more houses
and education,
more housing and education. Yeah. If there was a link, then
you'd be like,
really,
you know what, per capita poo thrown, this is how many jobs was created.
Somebody sent us the drinking game for sauna, man. Once up every time the EFF comments on something. One time. What? Once up every time? If they get reprimanded.
We want to get drunk, not die.
Just drink the whole bottle at the start of sauna and see if you survive.
You must choose one of those games. You can't play it all.
I found the clip, but I don't know if it's on a play or not.
Even auxiliary.
That's number one.
This is the man.
I don't know them. Do you know them? You look shocked, Evie, but you say this is your house. There are two guys standing there. Who are they? Do they have this? They must go. That's the first point of order, Honorable Chairperson of the NCOP. The second thing is a fundamental mistake here. We are all first and foremost citizens of South Africa, and we are not allowed, according to the Constitution, to stand for any office if we have a criminal record. The Constitutional Court, it doesn't matter whether it's NCOP, it doesn't matter whether it's legislature, even a council of councillors in a township are not allowed to hold public office if they are found to have been in breach of the Constitution. If you want to listen to a person that has breached the Constitution, go do it elsewhere. somewhere in the prisons there, Honorable where the criminals speak.
Make your
I have a
order.
Duty, together with other members of parliament who have taken an oath of office to protect this house in terms of the constitution. Mr. Zuma, please leave, Baba. Please leave. You don't belong here. You are a constitutional delinquent. You have to leave. Then we can proceed with the business of the house. I'm sure each and every one of us are competent to can deliberate on the state of the nation. But Mr. Zuma is a delinquent. He breached the constitution. It doesn't belong in it. It is him that should leave.
Honorable Josie,
you are wrong not to protect us. You're protecting him to stay here.
Not making a point of order.
It is a point of order.
It's no longer
how
a point
do you call
order.
This house in session
making
when people
speech.
Have invaded Mr. Zuma together with those two guys? They don't belong in here.
Honorable,
he's a criminal
please.
And you must
seat.
Leave.
Mm-hmm. Honorable Ndlozi, take your seat. Honorable members.
So, yeah, that was the whole thing. Yeah, and then Woody says he's not from Katanga. He says he's from Salt Bay. So yeah,
but he knows.
Yeah,
Katanga.
Yeah. He knows. He says he can't wait for season the next season of Sonaka. Is like
imagine it's Zuma was just like, you know what? I've thought this through, and you guys, you're right.
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm
stepping down.
I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let you sort the country out. And
that's what they want.
I'm gonna tend to my sheep.
So out in my thing is this is why they fought. Ne? Is because the president was supposed to address, ne? But these guys didn't recognize him.
No. He's like a spirit.
Yeah. They didn't recognize him. That was
hilarious.
The problem.
But you know what I like? The guy on the radio today was like, he said all these fancy things, you know, like constitutional delinquent and scoundrel this and that and you know. And then after all of that, basically what he said is like, you know, if that doesn't work, he doesn't leave, we're just going to resort to violence. So it's like constitutional delinquent
nothing
and scoundrel
gonna...
and the house and the highest court in the land. They like saying things like the highest court in the land. Yeah. And then he's like, no, if all that doesn't work, just fuck them up. You
know? Apparently someone saw at some point.
No, they did. The point of honor was raised. It was literally.
Who said what?
On the point of honor. Fuck you. Ladies and gentlemen, the new voice in the studio is Bongani.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Before we carry on,
building prince.
Before we carry on, that was the People's Bay. And he said these constitutional delinquent things. Okay, cool. Because it's 9:30, the customary thing to do is do the breakfast beer club. But because Dave isn't here, he was kind enough to send me a breakfast beer tasting ceremony thing all the way from the Seychelles. So this is Dave talking about things. And we're going to talk about something else. Let's leave this on now.
Yeah.
It's done and dusted.
Yeah, no.
The point of order has been raised and dropped and elsewhere. Cool. So here we go. Dave Levinson and the beer tasting.
Okay, morning guys. I know that it's a little bit weird, but today breakfast beer tasting comes to you from abroad. We are taking breakfast beer tasting to new heights or to new lows. So I'm on an island in the, where am I?
Seychelles.
I'm in the Seychelles, and with me is a lovely person, waitress called Joanne.
Yes.
Give me hope, Joanna.
Yes.
Okay. All right, now I'm going to be tasting savory, is that right?
Yes.
Is it made here?
Locally made.
And the ingredients?
Oh, just malt.
But they're from here?
Yes, we imported.
I don't see any. Oh, okay, it's imported. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, good. So we're going to taste the savory. What's the time? What's the time now?
The time is 10 minutes, probably before 10.
It's 10 minutes to 10. 10 to 10. Hello, Eric. 10 to 10 is cowboy time. Do you know that? Cowboy time. Do you know why?
Why?
10 to 10 to 10 to 10 to 10 to 10. 10 to 10 to 10. Anyway, so like 10 to 10 in the morning, it's a little bit late for breakfast beer, but it's got a malt, barley, things in, so we're going to try that.
And hop.
Right here at the bar. So lonely.
No glasses, right?
No, we don't. I'll open it second so that we can hear the sound of this beautiful... We'll even take a photo of me and you.
Really?
There you go. Cheers, Jane.
To you.
To the island.
Yeah, all right.
Can you put this on someone else's room as well? I don't have any money there.
Unusual?
Well, who is he?
He's the head of department.
He's the head of department. Okay. Tell him I'm from the Seychelles Tourism Board.
Okay.
Okay, well.
You from STD?
STD, is that what it's called?
STD. Oh my god.
That's right, I'm from STD. STB, sorry.
You from STB.
Okay, so let's see, this is. Okay. I mean, I'm tasting this, but I've tasted a lot of this. This is just to pretend that we're drinking beer.
Yeah.
Cheers, Eric. Say cheers, Joanne.
Cheers to you.
To Eric. Say Eric. He's
handsome. Cheers to Eric. Yeah. Cheers to you, Eric. Cheers to life,
huh? To life. Okay. Ah. So, there is actually a comedy show here somewhere tonight I'm doing. So it is legal. It's proper. But I'd like to just try this beer quickly. It's quite tasty. Although I brushed my teeth. Here we go. And this one's for Brandon. I forgot your names. I've been away for so long. And hello to the guests as well. Hi, is Gilly there? I hope Prince is there as well. Enjoy the rest of your day. This has been the BBC Breakfast Beer Tasting. Coming to you from abroad. That's the sound of the coffee being ground for me. I suppose I should have coffee as well. Eric, it's been fantastic. I'll be back next week and we're going to be interviewing some real people. I mean, you know, no offense to Gilly. I will see you through the window. Love you guys. Cheers.
Crazy Uncle Dave. Wait, hold on, hold on. Say that again. On a point of order.
On a point of order, Dave Levinson. I am a real person.
You are not a real person. You are not.
Objection. Objection.
He's not real. I'm here. Dave Levinson is coming to us via
satellites and WhatsApp voice notes.
He's an apparition, basically.
He's not even here. He doesn't exist.
And you know, with all the terrorist attacks happening in the world, he might not get back. I mean,
like,
we should
just take David.
No guarantee, David.
Deserve to die.
That's funny. Okay.
He to come back from
I didn't say he deserved to die. That's harsh.
But if you were to die, you wouldn't cry.
I think we need Dave in our society.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Really?
We do. On the WhatsApp line 0797482090 WhatsApp. Let's hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The thing is, he doesn't have to die. He just needs to be checked. I think he needs to be that guy. You know that guy where they're like, yo, this guy looks dangerous. Let's probe him. Let's stick a finger up his. But I think he'd even enjoy that.
Like as a group, we should just stick a finger up his bum.
Like not as a group.
Just to see how dangerous he is, yeah, really. Yeah.
How do you deal under pressure, boy? And then
Dave Levinson is not, does not carry a threatening air.
He doesn't.
No.
No, not at all.
He's a lady killer, though.
Threatening air. He's like he's up a lady in your
bowl. I don't know, Prince. Why don't you tell us how you carry a threatening air?
Threatening air. I
got eggs and beans. Eggs and beans.
This thing. And I haven't done anything.
I swallowed a knife as well.
Okay, perhaps. Cool. So what we were talking about last night at the club, myself and Prince, we were like, what the comedy scene is, not just in South Africa, but in the world, is that it is a male-dominated industry.
That's the truth.
And because we have Gilly in the building.
Gilly Appetite.
Come on, Bongani, man.
Yeah, I said it, I don't care.
Come on,
it's out there now. Gilly Appetite.
You see. Okay, cool.
Is there a vocal way to roll my eyes?
just on a point of order. Right. So the thing is, we want your take on the whole comedy scene as a whole.
Woman. So basically,
so
like
woman in comedy.
From Gilly.
As a whole.
Yeah. How do you feel about it, Gilly?
Where are we? Where are we going? Where do you see it?
How do you feel about the fact that it is a male-dominated
industry?
Specific
questions are better about
this.
You know.
Yeah. Do you want to bring a girl child to work someday?
This guy, Bongani.
You know, Bongani the other night introduced me as. Let's start there.
Jump in, Gilly.
Here's an example of what it's like. So Bongani introduced me as a woman. He was like, the next person is a woman.
The crowd went crazy.
Yeah. And I won't mention the other thing you said because I don't want to perpetuate more ignorance.
No, but I didn't say. Wait, what? It's not ignorant. I said you're beautiful. I'm like, this next woman is very beautiful. She's really funny.
You introduced me by my religion and my gender.
She's a Jew.
Yes.
But she's damn beautiful.
And the problem is with everything that you're saying, Bongani, is that you don't understand that that's a problem.
Is
and
it?
It's not a problem for me, actually, and I'll tell you why.
Because
that doesn't represent me, it represents you.
Oh, What?
And your ignorance.
No.
Yes.
But killing.
It does.
But I feel like the whole truth. Are you a woman? Yes. Are you beautiful? Yes. You are also a Jew.
But the thing is, the thing is, as a host introducing an act onto stage, you shouldn't have a bias or shouldn't paint a picture in the crowd's mind.
That she's beautiful.
To have them thinking, okay, because she's a woman, now we have to laugh. Or because she's in a wheelchair. Or because he's this, he's that.
And relating the fact that you're talking about my appearance immediately.
Oh.
Like, you don't say she's hilarious. You say she's beautiful. And it sounds like a compliment in your mind, but it's really just a judgment call.
Really?
Yes. It's a value statement. Yes. Yeah.
For reals?
Yes.
Value statement.
But the beauty is real, though. Like, I mean, like, you know what I mean? If you're, like, really ugly, then I'll be like, oh, man, she is funnier than what she looks.
Yeah, but that's... But again, everything you're doing is relating to my appearance.
Ah, snap.
You see, the thing is... You don't do that when you're introducing men.
No, like some guys you do introduce them as, like, this guy is tall, fat, and ugly, but he is funny.
There was... No, but if you look at it, I haven't ever heard somebody get introduced like that. Let's take that, for example. When it comes to introducing male acts, if guys do something like that, it's a very subtle thing. For example, I'm going to use Loiso Madinga as an example.
Jump in.
Robbie Collins would host, and then it'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, the next act coming on, this guy's amazing, but let me just get the mic ready for him.
And then he'll drop the mic all the way down.
Yes.
Yeah.
So and then he'd walk off stage, just leaving the thing there.
Yeah.
That's a visual gag.
Yeah. Yes, it's a visual gag.
Oh, that's a visual gag.
And I think that, and I will say that in a lot of cases, if your statement is funny, then you're serving the thing.
Yeah.
But all you're doing is actually preparing the audience unnecessarily for my gender.
No, yeah. It's not like that.
I know you don't intend it. I'm telling you what it comes out as.
I understand where you come from.
Where the industry
stands. But also, like, what if you say, this next act is really funny, but the person comes on and they're not funny. And then, you know what I mean?
That happens on the radio.
It happens all the time.
That sets up for you as well.
Because then you seem like a liar as a host, you can go back.
I'm just saying, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
Okay, just say this next person.
But my point is, when it comes to me, you mention my gender. You don't do that with anybody else. And you mention my appearance.
It's mostly guys that are coming up.
You don't do that with anyone else.
Male dominated.
You don't mention anybody else's appearance. And whether or not that's pleasing or not pleasing.
I do say he's the next guy up.
What if you say I'm beautiful and I come up and people don't think I'm beautiful?
What?
Gilly, you are.
It's the same thing about being funny. Because if you go, this next person is very funny, and they come up and they die.
Exactly.
Then you get to go back and go.
That's your credibility.
I thought they were funny. I was laughing.
I'm not saying you have to say I'm funny. It's not about that. My point is your immediate association is gender. And that's related to my looks.
Yeah.
So then I am immediately physically judged. Before I've even had a chance, I'm being physically judged.
No, but
let me tell you what happens. Yeah. When I come on stage, already as a woman, let me tell you, this is back to your point.
Yeah. Okay.
When you I remember what it's like being an audience member, vaguely.
Yes.
Wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And I remember what it's like watching a woman. And when a woman walks on stage, there's a conversation in your head. Okay. Just like when anyone walks on stage. Okay. There's a conversation in your head. When a man walks on stage, there is a much more open, you're expecting to be made to laugh.
Yeah, there's actually it's just less like a regular barrier. Looking guy.
Yeah,
there's less barrier in your mind.
Yeah.
When you see a woman walking on stage, there's a conversation in your head which goes like this. Body, 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 body. Look at her body. For women and men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck, I hope she's funny.
And fuck, I hope she's funny. Yeah. Exactly. So when I come on stage and you introduce me as she's beautiful, already I'm dealing with a conversation in their heads about what I look like that I have to try and eliminate immediately.
Before you even start.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But like, I also noticed that...
like you're building another wall for me to climb.
True. No, it's too. I totally understand where you're coming from when you say it is difficult for women in this industry because you know already. I don't know. But personally, I think like guys are much more funnier. Like on a regular, by the numbers. I think guys are much more funny by the numbers.
Is that true?
Okay, this is my next question.
My grandmother is very funny.
This is my next question.
I'm not saying women are not hilarious. I'm just saying the numbers have it.
Point of order! Come on. That was my next question. In terms of...
We are fighting at Club Central.
When you bring on a woman, we're changing the game right now, guys. This next person is a woman. So please put your hands together for this beautiful woman. Bam!
Which mic is this mic too, now?
Yeah. Right. So, what I was going to ask you is, when it comes to...
Just, you know what? I can't address that. Go read some books.
Yeah. There we go.
We're going to read some books, come back, grow five years. And
I have to ask questions, man. It is still my show. Relax, relax. So, when it comes to, like you said, men are funnier
than
women.
And don't be afraid to ask questions.
In the numbers.
Yes.
In the numbers, because like males are doing this thing more than women are doing this. Do you think it's because women feel that they're not as funny as men, or is it just because of a lack of, let's call it confidence, because you do have to have a stage presence and confidence to be on stage.
No, there's a problem with the question.
What is the...
Before we can even get to the answer.
No, go.
Because it's... What numbers... What research have you done that tells you men are funnier than women?
No, already we have more men in the industry than women.
But you have more male comics. To have more male comics in an industry doesn't mean men are funnier than women.
Yeah.
It just means there's more men than women in the industry. There are more men than women in most industries.
That is true. Yeah. But like from the three women that I know, I'm not going to mention any names. From the three women that I know at least one of them is really, really funny. Right? And then for the guys that I know, there'll be like, for every eight guys, there'll be like two or three that are not funny.
No, Bongani. But like with women, the numbers are much lower. I'm going to stop you.
For real?
No. Out of the guys you know, those guys you find funny.
No. But like, I mean like straight up funny.
Yes.
Like when you see these guys.
Bongani, you find them straight up funny.
More numbers.
You, as a man, find them straight up funny.
Uh-huh. But like Gilly, who are your favorite comics?
Sarah Silverman.
There we go.
Okay.
Take Natara.
Speaking to the table, please.
So you're just going to mention women right now?
Sure. You're missing the point. You just became a feminist right now.
Like, I just asked, who are your favorite comics?
Bongani.
Men and women.
Bongani, it doesn't matter. Can I tell you something?
Uh-huh.
You are not looking to learn anything in this conversation.
I'm trying to learn something.
So, listen.
No, don't put me in a box.
You keep interrupting. Hold on. Let me finish, man.
No, don't put me in a box.
Come on. Because you're saying things that are...
And he's wearing this red overall, yeah. Bongani came in a red overall.
We're going to get security to remove you from this
podcast. Okay, let me take this conversation. Okay.
No, but let him be this devil's advocate character.
That's fine. You're absolutely right.
But just like, obviously...
Yeah.
Please
I think it's better. You must say it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we can actually.
But Gilly, you were saying something though.
So I had a conversation last year with Laz Gola.
Right.
And he said something very interesting to me. He said to me, you've got to stop caring what we think.
Mm.
Right? Now, I went home and I thought about that. And I actually thought that he meant the comedians in the room. But then I realized he meant men.
In general, yeah.
Yes. So what I didn't realize that I've been doing in the last, better part of the last year,
mm-hmm.
is, yes, I, you know, when you're doing small gigs all the time, the people that are seeing your gags over and over again are the comedians at the back of the room.
Mm. That's correct.
And so when you are thinking of funny things, you're subconsciously running it past that audience.
Mm.
Now, what happens is most of the comics are men. So what do? I think, what's funny for them? And most of the audiences are men, right? What's funny for them? Are they going to find this funny? I don't think, do men find this funny? I just think of the faces that I'm used to seeing and the people I'm exposed to. And I think, are they going to find this funny, right?
Yeah.
So then what happens is, I do that comedy,
mm-hmm.
right? I do that comedy. And after a year, now my original set wasn't like that at all. The first set that I ever wrote was written in a vacuum. I didn't know what an audience was like. So I just spoke about the things I want to speak about.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And those things were very much just about my life. And as a result, that's about feminine things, about being a woman and whatever in my world.
Being a Jew.
So anyway, I'm just going to...
And then you got institutionalized.
So listen, honorable member, order. So what happens is, I didn't realize is that actually I have been writing gags and comedy without realizing it for men for the better part of the last year. And then I'm like, oh, you know, but most of the audiences, the majority in the audience is men. And I'm like, guess why?
That's crazy.
Guess why?
Why?
Because no one is talking to women in that audience.
That's true, yeah.
They're coming and watching nine guys and one woman. Let me finish. One woman in an audience. And so when they think of going to comedy, is that something that's really appealing to them? No one's really talking to them.
Yes,
yes, they will enjoy the comedy that's funny. And
it is
funny and they relate to most of it. But it's not, you know what it's like. You know what it's like when you talk to, when you do comedy for people who are, let's say, culturally very similar to you.
Yes.
Right? You get a sharper laugh of recognition. You get that laugh is different.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's what I'm talking about. And that's what happens.
May I?
Go for it.
Well, that's crazy, what you say there, because with me, it's the complete opposite, right? I've always found myself funnier in front of women due to the fact that, you know, it's usually because I'm trying to sleep with them. So I became... No. That's the truth,
okay.
Though. Hold up.
I'm going to say something about that.
Okay.
I understand what you're saying. However, you find yourself funnier. They will not find you funnier than a woman that they think is very funny. Do you understand?
Yeah. Okay, you're saying
not
like,
necessarily.
If
no,
like an
you find
full of
yourself.
Women.
Your experience is that you are the funnier version of yourself in front of the woman,
yeah,
right? Because they motivate you. They motivate
they're
you.
Like, yo,
they,
you're trying to get these panties.
They motivate you to be funny, right?
Yeah.
We all have different people and different audiences that motivate us to be funny in the moment. We feel something and we ride on that.
Yeah.
And so for you, that experience makes you feel funnier.
Yeah.
But you're not necessarily connecting with them. You're not necessarily funnier to them than maybe a woman talking about something that they're more interested in. Or another man talking about something they're more interested in.
That is a good point of
look, it's a great point. It's a great point. But I feel like both points are also quite valid. You know what I mean? Okay, all three points in what we're talking about right now. Because now, firstly, you said, Chap, the industry is full of men. And then you end up telling jokes to those guys who are in the back, the comedians and yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
So that when you're done, they come up to you and they're like, yo, man, that was nice. It works both for men and women. You know what I mean? Because now where we are in the clubs, it's always packed full of comedians at the back. And they either come up to you and they tell you like, yo, I like where you're taking this joke. Where you're taking this joke now, right? The audience members, they come up to you like, yo, that was funny. And they just walk off. You know what I mean? They don't come up and tell you, oh, man, you should try add this and blah, 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 blah. They just tell you that was really funny.
Okay.
Cool, sweet. Now, from my side, when I go on and I do I get like a very nice... a nice reaction from the crowd members and they love what I did. Sometimes I'm looking at women. I start with looking at women. If I can get women to give me a good smile, my confidence already gets boosted, and then I can get all ignorant and get all whatever and then bring back the guys. Because already the guys are like, cool, it's another guy. Let's see what he's got to do, right? And then, yes, it may feel as though for us, like the crowd is full of men, so it'll be easier for men to make them laugh. Oftentimes, guys do give you that, you better be really funny, Mr. Man, because now I've seen the other guys, so you better bring it. You know what I mean? So it's still already, we all have our own little obstacles, right?
Sure.
And I respect it. I'm not trying to take anything away from you. And
no,
I do
sure,
apologize for like bringing you up as a female Jew. That was, okay, that's, now when I say it again, it sounds
horrible.
Really,
yeah.
It sounds really, messed up.
It sounds like
right?
You're doing like Hitler's checklist. We've got one female Jew, and she's funny.
And she is fine. But like, nonetheless, for me, when I walk on and women give me the thumbs up, sweet, I feel more comfortable. And now I need to start winning off the people who just keep looking at me. And oftentimes it's a guy. Either he's a much older guy, or he's one of those guys you can tell like this guy makes a whole lot of money.
I feel like I'm sensing something in what you're saying, where you're saying that the women in the room are easier targets for your comedy.
To make laugh, yeah.
Like, women are just fun to make laugh, to be honest. I've always made women laugh
before
men.
It's more appealing to you.
To me, it works better that way. You know what I mean?
Like,
from day one, it was like, like I said, from a primitive point,
no,
it was like, I want to sleep with you.
Yes, that's
and then eventually it was like,
point of reference.
Yeah.
Tell me something, question. So I'd like to believe that men are not funnier than women, right? But then tell me.
Absolutely are not.
But then tell me.
Not at all.
What is
the funniest people in my life that I know are women.
Yeah. As I said, my granny.
And it's a matter of perspective,
funny,
right? Because, why? Because they say and do things that I connect with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to believe that men and women are equally funny, right? But now, why are we going to a gig and there's 9 men and one woman on the
that,
lineup?
That's basically what I was asking you. Why is it that they are... Why aren't
because,
there more women?
Listen, this
why,
goes
is,
to a deeper problem
what
of like of sexism, which is
let's hear this.
Like gender preferences and the way that women are brought up and what they are encouraged to be and not encouraged to be.
Okay.
So when you are in class and you do something funny and everybody laughs and that makes you feel good, and that's the first step on the road to knowing, oh, I'm being approved of because I'm funny.
Right.
Mm. And the feminine... as the structure in that society for women to behave that way is different. It's not. From when you're a child, you're not told, oh, you're, you know, the impulse is to tell, the first thing to tell a girl is that she's pretty. These are very basic things that we know about now, right?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you tell a girl. You're pretty, you're pretty, you're pretty, you're pretty.
Yeah. And would it be foolish for a girl to jump up in class, make a nice joke?
Yes,
to, it'll look stupid.
Because to break out of being pretty is scary. Yeah. Because you've been put in that box since you're a baby.
Your comfort zone.
Oh, snap. So what you're saying is like, is that... When we're young, we're either conditioned. Okay, blah, blah, blah.
You're conditioning.
Or conditioned. So with women, we start off with saying you're pretty. With guys, we already get it tough because everybody's like, ah, you're ugly, blah, 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 blah. It's either like, yeah, you're a cutie. But as guys, we are pushed from a younger age to find approval from people laughing.
And not laughing. Now,
not necessarily laughing.
Okay,
but
just for something other than your appearance, for your intellect, for your...
We're not limited to the appearance factor.
But you know what's
your physical ability.
Like, you go to a club. Oftentimes, I go to a club, right? And... I'll get bumped down because a female comic just walked on, right? Showing that
you're
we want
spot.
More. No. Beyond that.
And other ones like Tui Meraki.
No, sorry.
Why am
so
I being bumped down if Tui Meraki just walked
no,
in?
No. Besides like the bigger
women.
Names. Okay, guys. All right, guys. Are you guys cool? Okay, cool.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying, besides the bigger names, even though
Whoopi Goldberg just came on. I don't understand. Got the woman.
Oprah's not even a comedian, right? Besides the big names. Like, they'll rather put a woman on, showing that we want more women in the industry.
I want more women in the industry.
I don't know about that. I think that it's not about that. It's about if you're organizing a show, then you want your lineup to be interesting and diverse.
Yeah.
So if you get one woman out of 10, you want to put her on because it makes your lineup more interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
brings a different viewpoint.
No one will put you on if you're not funny. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you
all
have to operate at the same level. Yes. I've not been done any favors because I'm a woman.
I've seen a girl who's been done favors because she's a girl.
Not in 2017.
No, name
it. Oh, yeah, not in the last 2 months. In the last month and a half, 2017.
Let's hear.
Can I mean, if I look at it, yes. So there's all these disadvantages to being a woman at the entry level of being a comedian, right? At the how you're conditioned to become a comedian throughout your life. But now, in the place that I'm at, it's a major advantage for me.
Yes.
Because I am an interesting prospect for a person putting a show together.
I find you funny.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
But that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if we're all equal, if me at my level of doing comedy for almost a year and a half, if I'm at the same level as a guy who's been doing comedy for a year and a half, they'll put me on.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Because it makes your lineup more diverse, right?
Yes, it does.
So, you know, and why not? Why
and
not
comedy,
have the advantage?
The nice thing about comedy, that's what I love about comedy, is that it always finds a way to turn, what do they call it? Lemonade into lemons. What do
lemon,
lemons?
Lemonade.
Lemonade. Point of order!
Okay, Beyonce.
Lemons into lemonade.
No, lemonade.
You know what I'm saying?
Ah, that is
so
hilarious.
It always does it. Like, as comedians, you can be a depressed person. Now, all of a sudden, you go on stage, you come to life. In this example, it's working out now, as you said. But to be honest, I would love, I know we're done. We're out of time.
We're just about done. Yeah, man. That was fun. If you
part
thought
two.
Sona was fire, my man, the last half an hour of this podcast.
Hey, there's really punching in here.
Are we doing a second episode?
I think we should. Ready for a second episode?
Next week,
the
same
way we
time,
are right
same
now.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool, cool.
This time I'll come early.
This was like the prep work, and next week we can we can be funny about.
Cool, let's do this.
I come in like designer. I'm shooting people down.
We needed to lay down some groundwork for Bongani. So
yes.
I feel it's good to have me in here to be the one out of six. That's like the opposite of everybody else. I think it's great.
Yeah, the open spot. Right. So from Gilly, let's just say goodbye, Gilly. Thank you for coming through, Prince.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Guys.
Thank you for having me, man.
Cool. Bongani Dube.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Right. Yeah, cool, guys. Check out some comedy this weekend. Go through to Parkers. Go through to the Goliath Comedy Club. This has been the Gas Comedy Podcast. Coming up next, Sex Talk. Cliffcentral.com.